Welcome to Homeschool Companion, your source for information, motivation, and inspiration. If you're part of the homeschool community or simply interested in learning more about home-based education, stay tuned. Together, we'll examine the latest resources, learning styles, and teaching techniques. We'll speak with experts in the field to help you uncover every homeschool advantage. We'll also present suggestions on how to keep Christ in the curriculum as we explore fresh ways to teach and learn. Here's your Homeschool Companion host, author, educator, and children's ministry specialist, Dr. Rose Gamblin.
Welcome, welcome. I'm here with Larnell Harris, and he is that famous vocalist. If you can hardly believe that I get to interview him, well, you're right. I feel so fortunate to have you here, and I want to talk a little bit about you. He has this majestic tenor voice, and he is also a very humble Christian. And I don't know how someone can stay so humble, but you are. And he's famous for being in the Gospel Music Hall of Fame, in the Kentucky Music Hall of Fame, and the Amateur Radio Hall of Fame. He was twice inducted into the Gospel Music Hall of Fame, both as a solo artist and as part of the Gaither Vocal Band. He has achieved 19 number one radio singles and a plethora of top 10 hits. Harris was the first Christian artist to perform inside the Kremlin after the fall of the Soviet Union. He is one of a handful of celebrities to receive the Ad Council's Silver Bell Award for Distinguished Public Service in recognition of his song Mighty Spirit as the theme song for the longest-running public service announcement in television history. He recently performed for the National Day of Prayer event in Washington, D.C., and at the New York City's famed Carnegie Hall, and sang for a gathering of U.N. ambassadors in our nation's capital. Harris and his wife of 45 years, that you need an award for all by itself. We could do a whole show about that, resides in Louisville, Kentucky. And for more information, go to the website. You can go right now, larnelle.com. It's LARNELLE.com. Thank you so much for being on our show today.
You read that just like I told you. I'm sitting here and I'm saying, don't miss anything, okay? You did that well. It's so good to be with you. It's a pleasure.
You know, I started reading your book and I thought, what? I have to ask you this. What took you such a long time to write a book?
You know what? Because I didn't think there was a story there. You know, Larnell,
really?
Born in Danville, Kentucky, went to such and such. You know, there's no story there. Let me tell you what the story is. The story is in all of those people who, when I was a little boy, along with other kids in our neighborhood, spoke into our lives.
Amen.
Bates School, grades 1 through 12, one building. Segregation at mm-hmm. that point. Those were grandmas and grandpas, those teachers.
Yes.
And they were saying to us, if you will sit still long enough and take what we have to offer, it is out there. Because
mm-hmm.
we've been there. Some of those teachers struggle to get their degree. I have a lot. Miss Fisher was our librarian, and she took her a degree from the University of Kentucky. That was not an easy thing to do in those days.
Yes.
And so there were teachers like that who were saying, listen, listen, sit still. It's out there. When I went into the first grade, which I got there, and this was the prettiest woman in the world, other than my mom, okay, who taught me how to spell my name, Miss Margaret. I needed no other education. I was going to stay in that room. She was like an inspiration to me and to all of us. And this was no accident. As I've gotten older, I understand exactly what was going on. God was putting people into my life, one for a time and then for another time and on and on and on. And this book is about me. People ask me, why have you written it? There are two little words that are not used very often that I wanted to use in regard to those people in that time of my life. I simply want to say thank you for allowing God to use you to give me a dream and scrape the top off of the dreams of others. And they did that.
Yes, at a great sacrifice, too, because they were working in schools that paid below other schools because they were choosing to work in the segregated schools.
Yes, and we consolidated schools my senior year.
Wow.
Kids didn't have any problem with it. And I met other people who spoke into my heart and my life. So that's what the book is about. It is about discipleship.
Yes.
It is about mentoring. It is about people who had no agenda other than just loving some kids.
Yes. Yeah, and so really the first spark of music came about through your drum playing?
First spark came...
I mean, who would have guessed that? I had no idea.
Well, I play drums, but the first spark came from Miss Georgia Dunahai, who was a piano teacher in Danville. In Danville, she played for the church choir, and she taught piano lessons to every kid in town, whether they wanted them or not. you know the kind of person I'm talking about here. They don't take no for an answer. She and my mom got together. And one about trying to find the virtuoso in these little fingers. Well, she found out that I could carry a tune. And so she started to nurture that. And she would take me around to various places, you know, to sing. And with Miss Georgie, you know, like I said, these people can get on your last nerve. She went to my mom one time and she said, Ida Mae, you should not let Larnell play sports in any dust. That has anything to do with dust, baseball, football, any of those kind of things. Because the dust will hurt his voice. Now, I don't want to hear that. I'm a kid.
Yeah.
I'm playing everything. You know, I want you to get out of my life. But as I have gotten older and understand what God was doing, I hope every town has a Miss Georgie, someone who just will not take no for an answer, but she doesn't want anything. She has seen something. And she is saying with those other teachers, you know what, if you will simply sit still and listen to what we have to offer you educationally and spiritually, God will use you.
Now, I know I'm going to be jumping around because I just think of things as you're talking, and I'm thinking of you probably didn't come from an ideal home situation where you had a great father as a role model, but somehow you have been able to stop that pain, and now you've been married 45 years?
Yeah, but I didn't stop it. He did. My mom prayed for my dad. She prayed him into the kingdom.
Amen.
I can remember as a little boy listening to some of those prayers. I didn't know all the dynamics, all the grown-up dynamics. But I listened to her pray for him, and he became a Christian and the spiritual leader of our home, a deacon
Amen.
In our church. And they are the real hero. If there's a hero anywhere here besides God, they are it. Used by God to show a little boy what a man was supposed to be and what a family was like.
Well, and, you know, our kids do a lot of raising of us parents, too. So that day when you aimed that cap gun
my
at
little
your
cap
dad,
gun. Yeah.
You might have been also an instrument.
Yeah, you know what? And I believe that little incident, I'm surprised that I remember that. That is one of the things that I've never forgotten. And I was young.
Yeah, and was it your dad's look at you, or was it his response, or what? Why did it stick in your memory?
What it was, I don't know what it was. What I do know, that I believe that was a point that mom's prayers were beginning to work.
Yes.
I believe that. That's all I know. Because it happened. And a generational cycle was broken. And you'll have to read about it. I'm not going to tell you.
Yes, and we're not going to.
What's in there. But
we're not going to tell everything that's in this book, because we want our listeners to go and read it for themselves. But
I believe that was what that was. It was,
yes.
It was a time when whatever mom was praying started to take effect.
I mean, the idea that a woman's mantle, or, you know, her job to encompass and pray for all of her family is fantastic. That in itself could be another whole book, you know, because a mother's prayers, you know, don't give up. Her husband Well, your father was a bootlegger. I mean, he was doing the best he could when you think about the circumstances of the day.
Doesn't excuse it. Doesn't excuse it. But you know what? A mother's prayers go a long way, and I guarantee you that I got some of them too.
Yes. Yes, I guarantee as well. Okay, so now you're taking piano lessons and you're doing some band work with the drums. I mean, you have rhythm and you're going into that tumultuous teenage time where, you know, aberrant behavior is rife and addictions begin. And, you know, just how did you navigate that?
I had a fear of my parents. I had a great fear of these two people, you know, who did what I have done sometimes.
So, how many children do you have?
I have two.
Okay,
and they're grown now. You know, paying their own bills, by the way. Thank God. Knock on wood. Who I've stood in front of them and said, "I love you too much to allow you to do that."
Mm-hmm. And so your parents...
Yes, and that was it. My mom would say, you know what, I never saw her. She never took notes to tell my dad what I did during the day. You know what I mean? But she'd get nose to nose to you. I mean, so close to you that your eyes would cross. You know what I mean? And she'd say, you know what, I brought you into this world. I'll take you out. And she tried it a couple of times. So I remember one time I could listen out my window. There was a dance hall down the road. And I wasn't supposed to go in there. Listen, my mom was very strict.
Yeah, and with your natural music ability,
I wanted to go hear it. I wanted to go hear what they were doing. But it wasn't the music that I was attracted to. I just wanted to go see what was happening down there. And it was very dark down there. Okay, so she kept saying, you know, no, that's not for you to do. And I was listening to them out my window. So one night I took off and went down there. And I walked in the door, and I looked around, and I said, "Mom was right." I turned around and walked out. And it was the beginning of me understanding as a teenager,
yes,
of what kind of life I'm going to live. Now, I'm not going to say, you know, it wasn't Hades, you know, it wasn't,
yes,
it was,
yes.
But it was just out of sorts for the way that I had been raised. And and I didn't spend a lot of time down there because, you know what, it was just what she said.
That's awesome. Well, we have to take a break right here, but be sure and come back. I'm talking to Larnell Harris about his recent book, Shape Notes. We'll be right back.
I'd certainly hate to sit next to him on a bus.
What about in a canoe?
No way.
Do you know what I think?
Usually, no.
I think that cows can teach us a lot about health.
How?
Well, look at him. Does he look sick?
No.
Does he look like a weakling?
No.
Does he look tired and depressed?
I don't think so. He looks kind of contented.
Exactly. That's one happy cow.
So what's so strange about that?
Well, look at what he's eating.
Grass?
Yes, and a few flowers, bushes, leaves, and other stuff growing in the ground.
That's what cows eat.
That's my point. Big cow over there, with all those muscles and beautiful hair and bright eyes and swinging tail and really cool horns, eats nothing but grass and water. He doesn't eat meat, which if you stop and think about it, would be kind of gross. He doesn't drink milk unless he's a calf. And he doesn't take pills. All he does is walk around the pasture, eat grass, and sleep standing up.
You know, Sam, you're right. He's proof that we don't need all the stuff that people say we do to be healthy and strong. We just need water, food that grows on the ground, and exercise. But I don't think I'd like eating grass.
No problem. We can eat grains and vegetables and fruit. If we did, we could be as smart as a cow.
And maybe as healthy as one, too.
God has given us everything we need to be healthy inside and out. During Creation Week, He established a health plan for every creature on earth. To learn more about healthy living and about the God who created us all, go to kidsbibleinfo.com. That's kidsbibleinfo.com. This program was brought to you by the Children's Ministries Department of the General Conference of Seventh-day Adventists.
You've been listening to Homeschool Companion. You know, we'd love to hear from you. Be sure and like us on Facebook at Homeschool Companion, or partner with us. Send us a contribution or a show suggestion at P.O. Box 413, Smithsburg, Maryland, 21783. Or call us at 301-824-3162. Welcome back. Thank you so much, Larnell, for being with us. And you can go to his website, larnell.com. That's easy if you know how to spell his name, L-A-R-N-E-L-L-E. And the inspiration of your life, of course, I'd asked you before the break, what took you so long? And you know, so many of us feel like we just don't have anything important to say. But as you wrote this book, did it change you in some way?
You know, I thought about a lot of things that my parents must have thought. I joined a group out of college called the Spurlows, and it was put together by the name of Thurlow Spurs. Really, it was the beginning of contemporary Christian music. You know, it was a whole big change. And we traveled all over the country doing driver education safety programs. We Chrysler sponsored some of those programs.
Wow.
And we would do those in the daytime in the high schools. And then we couldn't give our testimonies in those schools, but we could invite those kids to our concert at night, which was called the Splendor of Sacred Songs. And one morning, probably 2 o'clock, I'm writing, putting down notes. I just talked with Christine, and we were getting all this stuff together. And suddenly, I thought about the fact that much of the time that I was in the Spurlows, my mom and my dad had no idea where I was in the country.
Really?
And I thought about that, and I just broke out into tears. It was just, they loved me so much that they let me go.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm out there. They don't know where I am. They loved the group. They sanctioned it. They'd seen the Spurlows. They knew what it was all about. And that hurt.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because now I've got kids, and I'm going, well, what if I know they're okay, but what if I didn't know where they were?
Yes.
So there were moments like that, and some stories that I thought about that, one story my dad told me, he said, when they dropped me off at college, I went to Western Kentucky University. They dropped me off and got all my stuff in the room. And he and mom got in the car and started driving off. He said she was crying. He was crying.
Aww.
And said they turned the corner and she was saying, go back and get him. Go back and get him. and he was saying, no. He was through tears. Said, no, if I go back and get him, he'll never amount to a thing. What was that like, leaving your kid?
Yeah.
What is that like, not knowing where he was?
Yeah.
And I thought about just being a parent.
Yeah.
And how that must have hurt.
Yeah.
And,
I mean, as you're talking, I can just sense God as he let his son come to this earth. What a fantastic analogy between your parents letting you go, God letting his son go. I mean, that probably is one of the hardest things a parent has to do.
And it had to be done.
Yes.
Because to keep them, we grow invalids.
That's right.
You know?
That's absolutely right.
We are so proud of our kids. And you know what? I know my mom and dad were proud of what they saw their little boy doing in Christian work. It was a time when those thoughts came into my heart, and I think it helped. I think it helped with the output. I think it helped.
That's right. I think as people read this book, the Holy Spirit can speak through the process of just reading the book, because the Holy Spirit was there with you, bringing these stories to your mind. So as you journeyed through, you know, fame has a terrible way of polluting. How did you avoid that trap?
You know, it's tough. Everybody deals with that.
Yes.
I've often thought if I retired, what would I miss the most? There is no one who doesn't want to be somebody, you know, to be recognized, to be have some influence, you know. There is a song, two things. One thing is you don't run from people that don't chase you.
That's phenomenal.
I don't run from them. They don't chase
That's
me.
A profound statement.
You know what? Because you know what? When somebody asks me for an autograph or want a hug or take a picture, it shows how many Christians there are, or how many people who love gospel mm-hmm. music, or who at least go to church. It is a sign that, boy, these people, man, look at this. Mm-hmm. These people know who I am. I went into a courthouse one time, and they were trials and whatnot. I think it was maybe I'd been called for jury duty, and I wasn't going to be able to do it. But nobody said hello to me in there.
Really?
And I thought that's interesting. You know what I mean?
Yes.
So the opposite of that is that people say hello. Maybe they understand a little bit about some of what you're doing.
Yes. To do what you've done through your life is a serious commitment, not only on your part, but your wife's part, because it doesn't happen in a vacuum. You have to get out there and sing and perform and travel.
There's a song that we used to sing in our church. You can't beat God given, no matter how you try. For someone to think that anything that they do is going to be bigger than anything that God has done is in itself a lesson in humility.
Amen.
There's just no way.
Yeah.
So I believe he says, go for it, man. Go out there and just do the best you can. I am giving them into your hand, and we can go and worship him and lead people to him and bless his name. Because there is absolutely nothing that we can do to outdo God. And he wants us to do the very best that we can. Because after all, this is about him.
That's right. That's fantastic. So looking forward, you're not going to retire. I don't think anybody should ever retire. But I mean, you might change what you're doing. But
I call it logistics.
Yes.
You know what? You're not on the front line, and you know what? I'm okay with that. I'm probably the world's worst traveler. I don't ever like being away from home, and I have 2 million miles on one airline, okay? but you have been there on the front line. You know what it takes.
Yes.
Now you're in logistics. You understand what to gather for those who are going to be on the front line. Mm-hmm. It is they are both important.
Yes, yes.
So if that comes, when that comes, I'm good.
Yes, yes. You'll just be retreaded. And you'll probably sing until you no longer have a voice to sing with. And I am so grateful that you could spend this time with us. And I have one last thing to say, and that is God bless.
Thank you.
You have been listening to Homeschool Companion, a production of MRG Media. Be sure to join us on Facebook. Just type in the name Homeschool Companion. For more on this or to contact us, go to mrgmediaministries.com. That's all one word, mrgmediaministries.com.